We'll ask for your prayers this morning. The Lord bless his word. I feel a real need of his help. Seems like he has changed the direction of the thoughts that I had. So I want to follow his leadings for us here this morning. Spoke last week about learning. It's a vital element for each one of us in our lives to be able to learn. We learn because we're not born knowing. And there's a whole lot to learn. There's a whole lot for us to be able to grasp and attain unto, even of the natural things of life that we don't understand and know when we're born. There are things that living life should teach us. There are things that we should learn from others. We spoke about ways that we learn. We learn by seeing. We learn by hearing. And we ought to learn by doing. The things that we see, the things that we hear taught, things that we see of others' lives, be able to learn from our own mistakes. And I'd like to maybe continue a little different direction on that. But you know, it's the Lord's desire that we learn. And it's the Lord's desire that our children learn. And those that come behind us learn. Knowledge is not imparted by osmosis. It's not just automatically granted. Knowledge is attained by learning. And we have a part to play in that. I'd like to turn to the 78th chapter of Psalms. Psalm 78 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." I'm thankful that we serve a God that never changes. His word is forever settled in the heavens. He's not fickle. There's no shadow of turning in him. And thank the Lord that we can know that we can be assured of that in our lives. Remember a man telling me some time back, we were visiting and talking about the condition of the world and the direction that things are going, and that's not generally a very upbeat, encouraging conversation. If you look around at the way that our world is headed and changes that we've seen happen in our nation in just the last 10, 20 years, it's astounding and it's frightening the direction that our world is going. And this man was saying something to the effect that I pity your children. I don't like to think of what our children and our grandchildren are going to have to face in this world. And I had to agree, but I said, you know, one thing that gives me hope is that our God is forever the same. So people change, societies and cultures and belief systems and prevailing opinions change all throughout time. But God never changes. He is settled. He is fixed. His ways don't change. And so it tells us that what I have found in God, the way that I have found that works, the kingdom that I have been born unto, it'll never change. It'll be there for my children. And the Lord alone knows when the time will be right to say that time shall be no more and to bring this world into judgment. And surely the actions and deeds of our world are hastening that day. But the Lord knows what that time is. And between now and whatever time that is, However long this wickedness endures in our world, the grace of God will be there for our children, for our grandchildren. If they will reach out, if they will avail themselves of it, it'll be there. Thank the Lord. It gives me a hope that it's a dark picture all around, but that's not what my eyes are set on. That's not what my hope is built upon. My hope is in something eternal, something that transcends the ways of men that change so frequently. I'm building my hopes on something eternal.
Yes, amen.
I'd like to look now at, maybe we'll come back to this passage in Psalms, but let's pick up a scripture in the book of Judges. The second chapter of Judges. Seventh verse, Judges 2. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. What a time to live. What a time to see the Lord's workings and how he delivered them out of the land of Egypt. Of course, they drew back in unbelief and they were sent to wander in the wilderness as a result of that. But they had seen such mighty, wondrous works that the Lord had done. And we can enumerate them one by one or try to. And the passage in Psalms, perhaps a couple of them, and even in Acts, it does that to an extent. To talk about the history of Israel and all the things that the Lord did for Israel. How he bare them and he cared for them and all of that that the Lord did for Israel. These people had seen the mighty works of God firsthand. They were eyewitnesses of what the Lord's power was able to do for them in their lives. But as the course of life goes, since the fall from the garden, we all go the way of the dust, the way of the earth. And these elders who had seen all the mighty works of God, they too were going that way. They had passed the prime of their lives. Their time on earth was drawing to a close. There were people that had associated with them. There were people that had looked up to them. From what I gather in the scriptures here, that followed the Lord and followed their ways. They had enough of a respect for Joshua and Caleb and Moses before to follow in the ways that they had prescribed for them. But now the time is coming that their lives are drawing to a close. Have you ever been affected? As you look around, even among us, among the people of God, and you see those that have had power with God, and you've heard their testimonies, and you've seen their lives that they've lived. You've had confidence in them. You could call them whenever you needed prayer, and you knew that they could get a hold of God. That they had faith to be able to reach the throne. Whenever there were uncertain things and uncertain troubled times, maybe you could pick up the phone and call, and you knew you could find some stability of somebody that had hit the rock. And then you see them coming down and their health failing them, and you think, Lord, we can't lose them. We can't afford to lose that one. We need that one in the body. Have you ever seen the times when the Lord sees fit to go ahead and take them on? You think, Lord, what are we going to do now? Sister Rosie said after Brother Philip's passing unto her children, said, children, God has seen fit to remove the big, strong oak tree so that the saplings can grow in its place. You know, the Lord is not at a loss. The Lord knows how to continue His work forward through all generations. He knew how to do it whenever Joshua and Caleb were about to pass off the scene. That didn't have to be an expiration date for the work of God and for the nation of Israel. He had a plan to carry it forward. But that plan involved mankind. You know, the Lord has a plan to carry His work and His kingdom forward until the end of time. He has a plan, and I believe that He'll have a remnant. But you know, God's plan involves mankind. It involves us. We have a part to play. Oh, is your heart in this? Is your heart in the work of God? Is your heart for the things of God? Do you have a love for what you found of this great salvation we sang about? Salvation is the sweetest thing. Do you want to see people behind us find the same thing? Well, let's read on. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. There rose up another generation after them. A generation, now of course there was overlap for a number of years, overlap with this generation, and I don't know all the answers as to why this generation didn't know the Lord. But this generation that rose up, they didn't have a hold of the same thing that Joshua had a hold of. Somehow it didn't pass down to them. They didn't get a hold of it for themselves. You know how much can be lost in one generation? How much can fall by the wayside and in just one generation? I think of the scripture that says, I sought among them for a man to stand in the gap, to make up a hedge for him. You know, we stand in the gap between a generation that has gone before us and a generation that is coming after us. We are the link. You ever think about that? We are the link between that generation and a generation to come. I don't believe I need to try to name names. Speaking to the group of us that are here today, those that maybe will hear it. But a generation of those that have known God, some of them wrote songs, some of them wrote books, many of them testified of the works of God in their lives, of healings, of answers to prayer, of deliverances. You know how much of that can be lost? You know, I've heard the testimonies. Well, thank the Lord for those that are written down. But I have heard many testimonies in my lifetime, sitting and hearing the older ones that have gone before me, that told of how the Lord answered their prayers in mighty and miraculous and marvelous ways, how God answered prayer in their lives, how real He was to them. But you know, my children, many of them have not heard their testimonies, because now they passed away. And I can refer to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and they don't have that same association in their minds. They haven't heard those testimonies for themselves. You know, I can try to relate it to them secondhand. You know, it's not going to have the same impact. And you know, I can't tell it like they told it, because they lived it. They experienced it. And I can't just repeat it to my children the same way they told it. So how do you keep this chain continuous? We've got to be a link that's not broken. We've got to be able to pass down to our children something that's of the same quality and nature that our parents and our grandparents had. That I can tell my own testimonies to my children. That is, I'm bringing up my children to my home. We can go through these things together. Children, you know what we're dealing with here. Let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord together. There's a need here, children. We got a call for prayer over here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's humble ourselves before Him. And then you get the call back, the Lord's answered prayer. Folks, you know what it'll do to our children? They've seen for themselves, and to teach our children, children, you get down and pray. And oh, how precious it is whenever we hear our children and see them start to get a hold for themselves. And to say, I had an earache, or I was starting, and I prayed and God answered my prayers. Folks, He's the same God today. He is the same God to our children. But again, mankind has something to do with this plan. There arose a generation that didn't know God, that didn't know His wondrous works. How much again can be lost in a generation? Look again, without trying to identify names, you maybe can do it from your own experiences or lives or observations. Those that been among the saints, have known the Lord, have known of His ways, have preached the gospel, and their children chose to go another way. And you look at the grandchildren of that saint of God, you say, what happened? What happened? Do they know anything of what grandma or grandpa believed and taught? Do they get a hold of anything of what was just one generation before them? It brings a weight of responsibility to me to think, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm bearing a weight on my shoulders now. This is our time. If you're here, if you're listening, this is our time. Their time has come and gone, but this is our day. This is our responsibility. What will I do with it, with what the Lord has done for me? Oh, I don't want to see a generation rise up after that doesn't know what holiness is. That couldn't tell you what Holy Spirit leadership means. That doesn't know what it is to meet together with saints of God who sing and worship the Lord from purity of heart. I don't want my great-grandchildren, if time stands that long, to say, Monarch, what's that? Oh, is that that resort down in Missouri where, oh no, so much more. But folks, it's got to be present in every generation. We've got to be able to pass down to our children and to those that come behind us. So I said, the psalmist said where we began, that we will teach them that the generation to come might know the things of God. Remember, as we read of the time that the children of Israel were crossing over the Jordan River, and He told them that I want you to, the priest, to take stones and to carry it across and plant them on the other side. Because the time will come that your children are coming along behind you. They didn't cross over the river. And they'll see these stones and they'll say, what do these things mean? What are these about? Oh, children know how to ask some questions from a young age. Why? Why? Why is this? But why? And you know, there are things that maybe I accept, that I'm able and willing to accept, because maybe I had a respect for those that taught it. You know, they may not have that same association. So what brother so-and-so that's passed away said, it's not going to mean as much to them. They're going to want to know, well, why do we teach that? Why do we do that? Why do we believe that? And it's not going to be enough to say, well, that's what grandpa taught. Well, that's just what the saints have always done. I need to get a hold of something for myself. A conviction for myself to say, I see it. I understand it. I've gotten a hold of the same God of our fathers. I've gotten a vision of His ways for myself. Let me teach you. Let me show you what God has revealed in my life. And let me show you what it's done in my life. That the children may know. That generation might know them. Even the children which should be born. And that they may arise and declare it to their children. And the cycle then continues. You know, there are a lot of generational cycles that can be observed in life. One man chooses the way of a drunkard. The son looking on saying, I'll never do that. Gets of an age where the same devil gets a hold of him and he follows the same path. And you see the cycle repeat over and over. You know, there's something of our responsibility in our homes to establish what is normal for our children. And normal should be based on the Word of God. If I establish, well, this by my words or by my actions, this is what's normal. Well, you go off and you drink or you speak abusively to your wife. That becomes the norm. That becomes what is to be repeated, and it becomes a cyclical, generational. You know, the Lord has a way to break those generational patterns and decay. You know, there's another thing. The Lord wants to become a generational pattern. Now, it's not just automatic. You know, I want to set my children up for the best possible chance of success. They're going to have to make choices. But I want to give them the best advantage possible. What was it Paul said to Timothy? I know the faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother. And I believe in you also that it's passed down. Again, it's not something that you just inherit a spirituality, a walk with the Lord. We don't get it by osmosis. We've got to get a hold of it for ourselves. But whenever we hear the testimonies, it's to point us to Christ, is to bring us to an understanding for ourselves, that I get a hold of it for myself as an eyewitness, not as a secondhand testimony, talking about the good old days. The good old days don't mean that much to a young generation. It's just some nostalgic thing of the past. Folks, what we have to pass down is not just a relic of history. It's not just something that deserves a place on a shelf in a museum somewhere. Oh, look what the Reformation was. No, the Reformation lives on. The light of the evening still shines today. It doesn't belong in history. It belongs in our lives, that they might be able to see it in action today. Not to just talk about the good old days and the times when God answered prayer and the times when there was such a power and anointing. Oh Lord, help us in our time to get a hold of the same thing. Think about, maybe we'll turn and look at 2 Kings, the second chapter. Prophet of God that had such power with God. Elijah, the man that God used to contest the prophets of Baal. The man who prayed such a simple prayer and God sent fire from heaven and consumed the altar and the sacrifice. The man who prayed earnestly. James talks about it too. Prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed earnestly again, and it came and it rained. James said that he was flesh and blood like we are. That we too can get a hold of what Elijah had. Whenever it came time for Elijah's time on life on earth to end, not by death in his case, But whenever it came time for him to leave, you know, it can leave such a void, such a hole. What are we going to do without Elijah? He's the one we called on when we needed to hear, what does the Lord say about this? We need God to raise this child from the dead. We need God to show his vision for Israel. What are we going to do now? He's gone. Oh, I'm so thankful that this isn't a faith that died in a prior generation somewhere. This wasn't the religion of Elijah. Well, let's read in 2 Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings 2, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah in the heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. It seems that Elisha had an understanding, had a premonition or some understanding that Elijah is about to leave. He had seen the power that Elijah had with God. And whenever Elijah seemed like almost testing Elisha, suggested that he go back and he just wait, let me go on alone. No, I will not leave you. I don't want to leave. I'm not going to forsake the way that you're taking. I'm going to stick with you right to the end. And several times he did the same thing, and Elisha responded the same way. The eighth verse, Elijah took his mantle as they passed on together and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they divided hither and thither so that the two went together on dry ground. You know, we can almost bask in the shadow of those that have the glory of God in their lives. And just by being in their presence, just by meeting together in worship services with them, I can bask in that. I can almost feel the glow of their devotion. And it warms me and it inspires me when I see that, when I hear their testimony. But what are you going to do when they're gone and they're not here to give a testimony? Elisha observed. Old brother Elijah smiting, and the waters parting, and they moved together, and Elisha was a beneficiary of that. He was able to walk across on dry land too. There's a blessing in association with the saints of God. Don't forsake it. There's a blessing in association with those that have power with God. Those who are living a meek and a godly and a holy life. Don't forsake that. Don't cast that aside. Don't try to find another way. Folks, I'll tell you, nobody in my short life that I've observed that has attempted to take another path have I ever seen succeed spiritually. Oh, folks, don't try to chart another path. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. It's not about following a man. It's not about just this is a church or a cult of personality. This is about, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. As I see Brother Paul have power with Christ, and I know there's a connection there. I want to get a hold of that. But the time comes that they're gone. And I don't want the continuity to be broken between the power source. It's time for me to reach forward and get a hold of it for myself. I went across, and it came to pass, in the 11th verse, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Oh, what an impact. This is about Israel. This is Israel's loss. This is my loss. And he saw him no more. What an emptiness. What a silence. What a hole was left. All that was left were the clothes that Elijah left behind. and the God of Elijah. Elisha didn't turn around in despair and go back home with his head hung low. An era is over. The day is past. The glory is gone, only to be remembered fondly. He didn't just go back and talk about the good old days, but he saw something left behind and he picked it up. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, the same river they had just crossed over. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Oh, what a beautiful testimony. That God was still the same God. That God didn't die with Elijah. That Elijah didn't take him back somehow to heaven and leave this earth in a void, in a barren, desolate land. But whenever Elisha saw what was left behind, we see what's left behind. The testimony, a legacy, the teachings, the belief, and the fruit of a life well lived for God. Folks, what do we do with that? Do we just stand around and look at it and remember the good old days and maybe every once in a while dust off one of the books of the Reformation and read it again wistfully thinking about those days? Or folks, will we pick up the mantle? Yes. Will we pick it up and shoulder the responsibility? And ask the question, and go back to where they stood. Go back to the paths that they walked in. What was it Jeremiah said? To stand in the paths, in the way, and ask, where is the good way? Where is the good path? Oh, I've seen those that have walked the good path. I've seen those that have found peace in their soul. I've seen a way that brought unity and not division. I've seen a way that brought power in people's lives and not weakness and failure over and over. I've seen a path that brings answers to prayer, that brings peace, that has a consecration of people to their God. I've seen that way. I want to stand in the ways that when everything around me has changed, whenever things are shaking and trembling, and it's time to stand still and say, where is the God of our fathers? Where is the good way that they found? And God will be faithful to our generation. Amen. You know, the Lord can reveal Himself to a heathen somewhere over in the islands. And He can reveal Himself to our children, even if we go another way. It's possible. But now I want to point us to probability. If we go another way, it is highly improbable that our children will find the good way. History bears it out. If I choose to break the link of the chain, if I choose to go another way, it is very likely that my children and my grandchildren after me won't find the way. It's not for us to despair. Maybe I've made foolish decisions in my life. You know, the Lord has a way of restoring the years that the canker worm has eaten. The Lord still has a way for us to write. If we're living today, there's still time to write our story. There's still time to stand and say, where is the God of Elijah? There's still time to testify to those that are behind us. Children, you've seen me make some foolish decisions in my life, but I want you to see it. A new dad. I want you to see a turnaround. I want you to see what God has done in my life. And you know the Lord can use those things to be able to win them back. But oh, how sad, how tragic to see the life of one who has chosen another way, gone the way of Babylon, gone the way of the world, go out of this life never turning back, and their children gone to the wind. Where is the God of Elijah? You know, we look at even this nation in a natural sense, not to try to get political, but you know, we have lived in a great nation. If you've visited other parts of the world, we are blessed abundantly to be able to have the freedoms that we have and really the prosperity that it's afforded unto this nation. We are a blessed people. You know, there's a reason why people are clambering still today to get into this country. You know, there's a reason why they're not trying to build walls to keep people from leaving this country to go to another one. Whatever you think of this nation, we are a blessed people and have been for however much longer it lasts. But you know, I've heard the testimonies of some who have escaped totalitarian regimes and escaped total control of their lives, not hardly allowed to leave their house and to live under oppression and cruelty all their lives, and to have the opportunity, maybe it's floating on a raft, or maybe an opportunity is granted to them to come into the nation, and there is such a rejoicing, there is such a thanksgiving for the basic things that we have enjoyed in this nation of freedoms. And you know what is natural to occur? That generation has a great appreciation for what they found. The generation that comes after them, it's all they've ever known. And it's not quite as special to them. Maybe they still appreciate and associate with, but it just doesn't have that same special quality to it. And the children that come after them, even less so. That's the natural progression, is that it's a devolving. It is a letting loose. Well, you look at our world around us, nature around us. What happens to a tree? When it dies, it falls, and over time it decays. What happens when you build a house? The elements begin to work on it, and over time it does not get stronger, better. It decays. And it will be the course in every one of our lives and our families unless we intervene, unless we very deliberately say, by the grace of God, it will not happen here. By the grace of God, I'm going to stand in the gap. It does not have to be that truth diminishes a little more and a little more and a little more every generation. It does not have to be that the standards are lowered a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more every generation, until the time that it doesn't even resemble holiness whatsoever. It doesn't have to be. That's the natural course that things will go. But I can, in my day, today, say, where is the God of Elijah? I'm going to stand in the gap for those that come behind me, for a whole line of people who may be behind me, that I can make the decision today that I'm going to go in the way of the God of Elijah. And I'm going to have to teach. It's the only way that they'll get a hold of it. It's why Deuteronomy, I think, the sixth chapter, says, teach your children. Teach them diligently. When you're in the way, when you're in the house, when you sit and eat, teach your children. What a responsibility. You know, every one of us have a responsibility of teaching, have an opportunity, have a sphere of influence of those around us. Maybe you don't have children or not at home anymore. Maybe you have grandchildren. Maybe those that you associate, maybe there's some neighbor children. You know, we can have the opportunity to teach the good things of God by our own testimony. I'm not saying don't share the testimony of others that have gone, but by my own testimony, I believe that'll hold the most weight to be able to tell them. We talked again last Sunday about we learn by hearing. Our children will learn by hearing. Teach them. Don't assume that they'll just pick it up. Well, I just assume everybody knows that doctrine. Well, of course that. Don't assume. The children are going to have to hear it. And you know what children require? They have to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it again. That's part of teaching. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sunday school teaching and teaching of the congregation, it's not just to children. But there's a responsibility for us to learn and a responsibility for us to teach. What did the writer of Hebrews say? That the time has come that you ought to be teachers. You've been in this way long enough that you need to have an understanding for yourself. You need to have convictions for yourself. It's not enough to just associate with the saints of God. But you need to get a hold of it for yourself. You need to have some convictions. You need to have some prayers that are answered for yourself. The time has come that you ought to be able to teach others. Are we having an influence on those that are around us? Are we imparting to them through the things that we say? Are we taking advantage of every opportunity we can to teach? They learn by hearing. They learn by seeing. Perhaps more than they learn by the things they hear. You know, our children will be able to know where our priorities are. They'll be able to know what's important to us. Our children pick up on things so quickly. They can pick up on attitudes that I have towards somebody else. Now, whoa, how'd they pick up on those things. Lord, help, what are we teaching our children? That I might be teaching without ever even saying a word. But they're observing and watching and learning. That's what normal is. Oh, I don't want to teach my children. Well, the saints are watching. The saints expect this. So be on your best behavior now. Well, the saints expect you to do this. Oh, I don't want to teach that kind of, impart that kind of following the Lord. I don't want to teach them to follow somebody. Teach them to follow the Lord. Again, it's not going to be enough to say, children, we do this because I said so. Because the church teaches it. There's a time when children are young that there's not a place to reason with them. You do this because I said. But there's also going to come a time that they've got to learn. And they're going to learn best if I have an understanding for myself. Children, let's look into the Word of God. Here's what it says. Let's talk about this. What does this mean for us? How do we see this demonstrated in our lives? And we learn by doing as well. We talked about to give them the opportunity to exercise themselves. And we've learned now put this into practice, realizing and having the patience to know that they're going to stumble and they're going to falter and they're not going to always do it just right. But Lord, help us to patiently teach our children, newborn babes in Christ, to teach them and bring them to the place that they can get a hold for themselves of the things of God. So I want to leave this, what I pray will be a challenge for us today. People are watching our lives. What are they learning? What lessons are they learning by what they observe in our lives? The song says, may those who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. Because the time is going to come that I'm not going to be here. The things that I have loved and the things that I have found precious in following the Lord, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be able to control what decisions they make. I'm not going to be able to control what they teach. You know, isn't it beautiful how the plan of God works? If they get a hold of God for themselves, I don't have to control it anyway. The Lord will teach them and they'll get a hold of the same thing. And if time lasts 100 years somehow, the truth can still be taught in the same purity. The light can still be going forth in its same brightness. But it'll only come very, very probably through our decisions. What we're doing with the time we have now, are we redeeming the time because time is short? Are we teaching those that are around us, whether we know it or not? We're teaching people something. So Lord, help us to be able to teach the good ways of God, that we might show to the generation that comes the goodness of God. You pray for me.